Today's episode, we discuss the relative genius of buying tickets in your own name when illegally scouting, Texas quarterback situation, and maybe we'll get to some Bigfoot. We'll see. Also, a little conference realignment news. All sorts of stuff can happen here.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
That is going to be incredible drama. And everything Michigan does here, they have to win it now.
Russ Dellinger.
And it's just like top to bottom. There's no real big heavyweights, but there's no little guys, so to speak. It's going to be a fun league for a while.
And SI's Pat Forty.
I so, so, so very much want Oregon State and Washington State to get every penny of that money.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And, the Michigan case just keeps on giving content to us desperate media. Not a great slate of games, but it's a great slate of scandal. ESPN, Mark Slabaugh, Pete Thamel, who used to be a valued member of this team, reporting that Connor Stallions, the quote, low-level staffer, what a way to be identified in life. It's almost as good as when they give the street name. I think I talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
Connor Stallions, who has a great name. Not much else going for him at this point. Purchased tickets in his own name for more than 30 games the past 3 years at 11 different Big Ten schools. They cited 11 different league schools as the source. Big Ten, not afraid to be like, yep, Michigan did it.
Yeah, you're not exactly like dragging this out of people at this point.
No. Oh, guys are running and checking security video, all of that. We reported last week, Ross and I, that it's potential college football playoff opponents as well. So Georgia, check your security tape.
Yeah.
This could go beyond that. It's pretty much what we've been saying. They're sending somebody. It was never staffers. It was never the operation wasn't really coming from like the athletics department. It's coming from this guy. He's sending his friends or whatever. They have surveillance video of a guy in the seat that Connor bought, filming the sideline the whole time. They had tickets to both sidelines at Saturday's Penn State Ohio State game. That would have been a target rich environment in military parlance. So now, you know, the it's like we said, it's pretty much the same thing. A, by the letter of the law, if you care, I don't know if Michigan fan cares or anyone else cares, the reputation is shot. Michigan cheated. That's just, I mean, you're going to have a heart. You're arguing legal points. Is sending somebody else to the game to video, does it violate the advanced scouting rule? And the way the NCAA rules are written are often very poorly. This was written part of it was written in 1994 before anyone could have envisioned this scandal. And you say, well, who cares? And I agree. The spirit of the rule is clearly being broken here. But like North Carolina had no-show classes, right, for their athletes for 20 years. And you say, well, that's a violation. And they said, well, actually some other kids that weren't basketball and football players also took it. Therefore, it was not a violation. And that's how NCAA rules are. They struggle to do anything. I compared them to the small town cop running a speed trap for tourists driving down on their way to Florida, all while the bank is getting robbed, someone's selling meth to the high school kids, and half the town's hooked on wild turkey.
All right.
They'll get one guy on one thing, but then they can't get this. So, but in this case, Michigan was going 85 in a 35, right? So there could be video. There will be video. Could expand beyond the Big Ten, I would expect. And as a NCAA infractions case, I think it would be naive not to think they would throw this in on the current case. You're arguing, is Connor Stallion's buddy a representative of the university or not? Then I think we have two more questions. One, who funded it? Where'd the money come from? We don't know. Maybe we find out, maybe we don't. And B, who else knew at Michigan about the illegal scouting? They all knew this guy was the genius supposed genius. He's not really a genius. He's putting his own name. But they thought he had a knack for breaking down these plays. And so they went with it. But is there a trail that will go to Jim Harbaugh or any of his coordinators or anywhere in the system? How much does Harbaugh have to know about a low-level staffer? There is strict liability, but there are limitations to that strict liability. So those are all kind of down in the weeds things. The basic scandal is the basic scandal, and you either care about it or you don't. I don't know. What am I missing, Pat?
No, people care about it. I will say that. People.
Well, no, some people are like, who cares? Who cares? Well, I mean, you always get that, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, here's what from that standpoint, the Michigan fans have very quickly pivoted from there's no proof to, oh, this isn't that big a deal. Now right. That there's more proof. So, yeah, to me, all right, what the ESPN story did is it brought home some of the scope of this. 30 tickets at least, 11 schools. This was, we're going to go advanced scout impermissibly everyone, basically, in the league. Doesn't matter. We're Michigan. We're better than Rutgers, but we're going to go advanced scout you, probably. I'm assuming Rutgers is one of the 11. We're going to go advanced scout Illinois. We're going to go advanced scout Purdue, et cetera. This was their way of – this was Connor Stallion's way of doing business. We'll see who else's way it was as well. It seems wildly excessive. It is brazenly against the NCAA rules. It is wildly stupid, as you pointed out. Guy may have a degree from the Naval Academy, but he ain't no criminal mastermind, that's for sure. And to me, it brought home the kind of the here and now nature of this. This isn't something that happened in the past, like we get with a lot of NCAA cases where you hear about something from a year or two later or whatever. This was like they had the tickets to go scout Ohio State, Penn State, their two main rivals, both sides of the stadium, and then the tickets did not go used. So, I mean, this was an ongoing way for Michigan to impermissibly scout opponents. And I think it ups the ante on this and ups the outrage perhaps from the other universities in the conference, which is probably one reason why they're forking over this information rather willingly, because they should be ticked off. You know, maybe everybody is doing this to some degree, but I have never heard of anything of this sort of magnitude and depth, I guess, or breadth, one or the other. And so I think it's a real hot potato for the NCAA, for the Big Ten, and for Michigan. What are you going to do about it and how fast you can do about it? If you're the NCAA, you're not going to move very quickly because they don't. Unless they decide this is just the playing rules case, you all deal with it, we're out, which I think is less and less likely the more that we know. I think this becomes a major infractions case. And then that takes forever. So if you're the Big Ten and the NCAA says, well, yeah, we're going to get to this, it'll be January, February, March, April, whatever. Do you say, oh my God, we got to do something. What do we do? Because we got 11 at least angry members of this conference who feel like they've been disadvantaged by Michigan. Do we need to make a ruling of some kind? And if so, what would that be? What would the rules even look like in this? If you're the University of Michigan and you've put out multiple statements, as you often do, claiming about how much you care about integrity, and this is now your third investigation of the football program in a year, Jim Harbaugh is already on the hook for the other investigation for the impermissible recruiting. Oh, and Matt Weiss, that's a University of Michigan Police Department investigation, former athletic or offensive coordinator. That's still ongoing. It is not related to this matter, according to the deputy chief of the UMPD, who told me that yesterday. It is not related to Connor Stallions, but still, you had to fire your offensive coordinator. Like, there's a lot of stink around your football program. Michigan, going to do anything, or are you just going to ride it out because you got a chance to win the national title?
I think we went on a maybe a mini rant on Sunday, Sunday's pod about the backlash kind of like we were all getting over reporting the news. And, you know, I think the, you know, we all like the gory details, and details are important, and the details in the ESPN story were great and well reported. But we all, this is what we kind of all, without specific details, I guess, reported, and this is what everybody should have expected was happening. This is why the NCAA opened an investigation, why they alerted the Big Ten. It's because they had evidence of in-person scouting, and now we get brought to light the evidence of of tickets bought and games videoed during in-person appearances by these people, whoever they were, connected to Connor Stallions. It's and now I think you always look ahead and what's next with the story. And I think certainly the next step in the story is who knew, right? Who at Michigan knew that this was going on? Not clearly, they all knew that there was they obviously on the sideline, you know, you see Connor Stallions next to Jim Harbaugh and the defensive coordinator and other assistants, and he's gesturing, as we wrote in Friday's story, and he's signaling and he's doing things. He's got a white pad of some sort. So they clearly, Jim Harbaugh and the staff, were using sign stealing. But who knew how that information was obtained? If anybody, you know, who knew? Was it just Stallions? Was it a coordinator? Was it to go all the way up to Harbaugh? That's the question, right? The NCAA has to answer, and that's going to be hard, right? Because you're probably going to have to find some documented evidence of some sort, whether it's a text message or an email or some kind of paper trail that goes back to an assistant coach or a coordinator or go all the way up to Harbaugh. Can they find those things? In the last 2.5 years, the NCAA has investigated quite a bit of NIL cases. I mean, I think the number I've heard is over 20 letters of inquiry to schools just inquiring and in maybe not full-scale investigation, but knocking on the door, so to speak, about NIL deals. And we've seen no real penalties, right, to NIL. And a lot of that is because of they're not good enough evidence. They don't have evidence, documented evidence, to levy fines and penalties and such. So are they going to be able to do it here in the timing of it? We're right in the middle of what could be a championship season for Michigan. So the timing of it is also really important.
Yeah, well put. Look, it could be very difficult, or so far this Connor Stallions guy might be pretty easy. We might have, like, you know, sent a certified notarized letter to Jim Harbaugh saying, "Hey Jim, here's our
just to make you aware
video that I bought that I my friend photoed after I bought him a ticket on." I hope I at least use the university's ticket partner, whoever that is. I used bonus
maybe it's
code,
like a
bonus code Big House
bonus code.
And got 20% off because I know we're trying to watch. I mean, this guy is not, like Pat said, look, I couldn't get into the Naval Academy, nor would they want me, but not a criminal. He is not a very good criminal here. He came up with this thing and just didn't think it all the way through. Yeah, it's what, who knows, who knew what? All of that will play out in the infractions case. But the infractions case, like, they have to get a letter of allegation to Michigan, and then Michigan has 90 days to respond.
Yeah. No,
so they got one to them in 5 minutes, they'd still be like, yeah, we'll see you in we'll see you in January. So, but can you imagine? All right, I mean, some of the stuff, like, I get. I get some of the, like, the, there's some really odd things about this case, kind of funny. I mean, one is anybody could go to a game. Anybody listening to this can go to a game on Saturday, hold up their phone, film somebody's signals, and then put it on YouTube, and everyone in the world can watch it, right? The mere fact that you're allowed to steal the signs, just can't steal them this way, is just, it's pretty funny, right? Go ahead and rip these guys off, just not this way. The rules should have been tightened or just obliterated, you know, and Matt Rhule, who, you know, is apparently probably one of the victims here, said yesterday, like, this is absurd. They got to put the speaker in the helmet.
Yeah, comms.
Because it's even harder for players to understand these signals because they don't have the time that an NFL player has to learn the signals, you know, and the fact they haven't done that. There's all these loose things. It's a rule written in the main part of the rule is in 1994, and it just says don't go to games. It doesn't really say anything. So many problems that are just sort of out there, but, you know, they still did it. You know, could you imagine? I mean, do you really think there is a possibility that the Big Ten or someone or the NCAA or someone would literally sit there and say, we're vacating victories this quickly, or you're banned from the Big Ten title? The playoffs?
I mean, I don't, because first of all, you are hurting yourself. You're killing your TV partner, who happens to be fairly important in the Big Ten.
Fox Online too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, Tony Petitti. Yeah, you know, we'd like to talk through this with you.
I mean, I think the television broadcast Saturday was more into what happened in a tunnel at Michigan Stadium between Michigan and Michigan State players than, oh, there was also this little, you know.
Yeah, I don't, but I think there is a lot of pressure on the Big Ten from the other schools in the conference.
Like, yeah.
Hey. We getting screwed over here. What are you going to do about it? And I don't know whether it's realistic to expect the Big Ten, especially with a new commissioner, to step in and say, well, we are going to take matters into our own hands here and vacate victories or call them no contests or forfeits. That would be a very rash step. And there would be people that will ask for it, but I don't see that happening, but I do. It puts the Big Ten in a very ticklish predicament here. I think it keeps Michigan in a ticklish predicament. And the other thing, like, you know, there are schools in the league that are going to the Big Ten office. Here's what we got. What are you going to do about it? Michigan's kind of in its own deal and saying, look, we suspended the guy. If we find out more, we'll do more. But until then, this is what we're doing. NCAA is in a position like, hey, yeah, this could take a long time because everything we do takes a long time. So to me, it's a little bit more of a situation for the Big Ten. But yes, Dan, to your point, this is so odd, as these college sports things often seem to be, where it's like, how big a deal is this? Who did this? Who are these people? You know, and while, yes, it's not illegal to steal signs during game, it's also like, supposed to be frowned upon. People, nobody admits to doing it. Everybody gets pissed off if you catch the other team doing it. But so this is this other delineation of that.
Teams are good at it and some aren't. Yeah. But we're believing no one ever went to a game. Of course they did. They just weren't stupid enough to get caught
or buy tickets.
Buy tickets in their name
under their name.
And go to 30 games at 11 school. I mean, that's, you know,
it's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. And I think it's going to be a bigger number than that. And so it's stupid. Who's paying for these tickets?
Who is paying for the tickets?
Who's paying for the tickets? That's going to be a big thing. There's so much stuff there. And these schools, but that's it. Like, think about, because I agree with you, I don't think they'll do anything. First off, this is absolutely going to be riveting. Yes. I mean, if Michigan and Ohio State match up at 11-0, or even if Michigan or Ohio State drops a game between now and then, I don't know. But there's a Big Ten title or someone's playoff. Like, that is going to be incredible drama.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything Michigan does here, they have to win it now.
Yeah, right.
Like, you got to win it. It's like when the NCAA went after UNLV and they won the title and they came back the next year and they're undefeated and then they lost. More people remember they lost to Duke then they won the national title because the NCAA was going to run Jerry Tarkanian out of college basketball the best they could. It was the end. And it was like they had to win and they didn't. And people still think it's like the biggest upset of all time. It's like, well, the other team had Grant Hill, Bobby Hurley, Christian Leitner. Yeah, it's a pretty good team over there. They didn't lose to Bucknell. But that, like, the drama and the build, that Ohio State Michigan game of 20 million plus viewers.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be incredible. Michigan in the playoff, everything is just over the top now. And, like, yeah, the TV network, heck no. Pipe down there, Rutgers. You're losing anyway.
Right.
Like, what, Michigan State got the benefit of changing their signals and huddling? Yeah. J.J. McCarthy was throwing ropes in that game. Okay. Like, they beat him 49-0. So there's a bit of that. This is going to be so interesting.
Yeah.
You got to let it play out. I can't imagine them moving. It'd be so un-college athletics.
Right. It totally would. No, this is where you get very passive oversight in terms of immediate action, that sort of thing. No. To me, this is different circumstances, but the biggest, like, in-season cloud of controversy over a team since Cam Newton at Auburn, 2010, you know, when, hell, I broke the story that he was under investigation by the NCAA, and there was a strong push by the NCAA for them to sit him because they thought he was an ineligible player, and Auburn's like, no. And that played out very publicly for the last month of the season.
Yeah, lawyer up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went after Cam Newton. The old Hilton Garden Inn, right? So there's a couple other things, Ross. It's like people, there's two focuses, like who's the tip off guy? How did this get discovered? Is it, everyone wants it to be Ryan Day. I want it to be Ryan Day too. I don't think it's Ryan Day. It would be great if it was Ryan Day for my purposes, all of our purposes, but it's probably one screen right edit too far for this plot. There's the part that the NCAA is after Harbaugh, which I think they are. They want Harbaugh. They're mad he lied last year. They're mad about the Just the Cheeseburger leak. They're mad about the whole thing. They're mad about whatever. They don't like Harbaugh. Yeah, but don't have this happen. Like, you know, right? Like, they can be after you, but you keep getting caught doing stuff. So, tough break. It's sort of like, who cares what the whistleblower is? Because it's not a biased whistleblower if it's true.
Right.
Like even if it was Ohio State, which again, I don't think it is, but let's say it is for the purposes of the blockbuster that we're putting a Scorsese film out here. We got Leo's playing Harbaugh. We got, like, we're going to do this thing, right? Under the flower moon, under the big house moon or something. I don't know. Even if it is, like, Ohio State can't make a guy on their staff unless they send a spy. That would be even next. All right, now we're next
okay. level.
But they can't make him do stupid stuff like buy the tickets in his own name.
No.
So who cares? You did it. So
yeah.
And there's the bit that the Harbaugh, the Harbaugh family, the power of him in football. Like, maybe only the Mannings are bigger, but I don't even know if they are, because these, like, Super Bowls and college and all that. This is a prominent football. Jim Harbaugh's amazing career in football, starting when he was a player at Michigan, 16 years as an NFL quarterback, you know, Stanford, the 49ers, drafting Kaepernick. Like, he's in the middle of everything always causing mayhem. It could all come undone at Michigan because a guy making 55 grand decided to go with this cockamamie plan. Like, yeah. What a way for an empire to fall.
It is. The
empire falls because of this. Like, yeah. This,
and that, and then that's probably, and that's probably why, like, that's not going to happen, right? In, I think we've said it, like, it would be hard to see them, I don't know, dropping some big hammer. Again, it's hard to see the NCAA dropping a big hammer on much at all. We just talked about the NIL situation and the evidence needed and all that. And the NCAA and its enforcement staff has been at fairly awkward and uncomfortable and somewhat hamstrung position as the courts continue to rule against the NCAA around every corner. And I think there is fear, and whatever they do, that they'll be sued. So if they don't have proof that somebody other than Connor Stallions knew about this, it is hard for me to see them levying some kind of significant penalty. It just is.
Yeah, I mean, the question there is, does it matter whether it was somebody beyond Connor Stallions, who was a paid staff member?
Yeah.
Low level, yes, but a member of the Michigan staff orchestrated a widespread effort to impermissibly scout. I mean, seems like enough for a level one violation allegation, at least. And the question, the only delineation there is, if my buddy, you know, who works at, is an IT guy at General Electric, and that's who's doing the impermissible scouting, does that count? But if it's all being funneled to him as a member of the staff, I think it would probably count. So will the NCAA actually be able to make the allegations and then win a committee on infractions hearing? That's a whole other question. Well, you know, that's eight steps down the road.
Yeah, that's the problem, the litigation. It's like I said about the spirit of this rule. It's clear, right? It's the North Carolina academic case. North Carolina won its case 100% legit based on how the system is set up.
Yeah.
It wasn't the players getting extra benefit of a no-show class. It was the players getting an extra benefit of the university having a no-show class for anybody who happened to know about the no-show class. And so as long as there were some other kids in there who just were like kids from Charlotte that just happened to go there, it wasn't specific. So they won the case and there was no penalty. And everyone goes, well, that's ridiculous. And you go, yeah, but that's how things are, right? There's people, there's murderers walking the street. Sometimes you do it. One thing about the NCAA and penalties, everyone's all fired up. Okay, what are the penalties going to be? The penalty is if Jim Harbaugh goes coach the Bears. That's the penalty.
Yeah.
But they can get another guy.
Yeah.
Okay. NCAA penalties are pointless now, other than postseason ban. And even then, I can't imagine a multi-year postseason ban here. The penalties they do, the NCAA is so behind the times. First off, almost all of their rules, only things they really care about is kids getting money. That's all they've ever really cared about. So they don't really have a lot set up for this stuff. And even a level, what are you going to do? Scholarship reduction? I don't know.
How
much does that matter?
Yeah, recruiting, you know, yeah, bands, all that.
Recruiting
crap
is NIL now. It's not about how many official visits you make. Oh, you can't make an official. You only get, instead of, I don't know how many they permit, 50 official visits, you only get 30. Okay, well, the kid will show up here and our booster will have an autograph session and make more money and they'll pay for their trip up here. The recruiting visits and all their recruiting sanctions are pointless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt. It's not like crushing like it used to be. They'll still be fine because they can work around it with NIL. The fine, I don't know what Michigan's got. They're lacking money. What are they going to fine them, like $18 billion? So if you're a Michigan just fan or you're looking for like this, like we're going to get, you know, the death penalty, that's a repeat. I mean, we're getting out of control here, right? So the penalty is if Harbaugh leaves. But everyone's going to want the Michigan job. So it's kind of part of the NCAA's problem is I don't know how what do you even do that's a viable punishment anymore? Sounds bad, but you could cut some scholarships. They don't like doing postseason bans on teams and players that are no longer impacted anymore, right?
Well, and then but scholarship cutting, does that matter anymore because of NIL?
No.
I mean,
yeah.
Doesn't
Michigan, Michigan has the resources to have people just walk on the team if you need an extra scholarship.
You cut roster spots maybe, but scholarship cutting, that
you can't cut roster because you need the health of players.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing, this is, and again, Michigan could drag this case out for a long ass time if they wanted, if this goes through the NCAA infractions process. But theoretically, if they've got evidence in hand now and they come up with a notice of allegations this month and you go into an infractions process, you could have a ruling next summer, and it would be hard to say, well, these next group of kids, they're years removed from this. No, they're not.
True. True.
You know?
But maybe a one-year ban.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think it's a multi-year
ban. I'm not saying Michigan shouldn't get anything. They should. If this is all, I mean, right. What do you, but I,
yeah.
There's like a perception the NCAA still has power to punish it. Like, what's the punishment?
Right. I don't.
NIL has changed the game. They're going off of old sanctions, old ways. We're going to punish your recruiting. Well, that's right. The old way of doing things. You can't punish our recruiting. We're Michigan. We got so much money. These kids are going to show up anyway.
Yeah, I thought, you know, like, I thought it was cute. Bill Self said that their recruiting really was impacted during that. I was like, no, it wasn't, man. You were getting good players.
Right. It's the humiliation.
You won a national championship.
The humiliation and the reputation blow is the punishment now.
Yeah.
And
then, as you said, like, you know, is this the thing that sends Harbaugh to the NFL for good?
Yeah, or more, or gives him more suspended games.
Yeah, well, yes, that could absolutely happen. I mean, that.
Dan, maybe this is why. What are you laughing about, Dan?
It's gonna get like a. It's gonna get like a like a Ron Artest 73 game suspension.
10 games.
We suspended you for 50 games, Harbaugh.
Well, they already denied the 4 games. He took 3 games.
Yeah, he's already served 3. He's got some time served. See what his parole clock is. So he's doing state time or federal time? What are we doing?
And you know what? Not getting time cut off for good behavior, because there isn't a lot of good behavior going on.
And he'll still, even if he stays at Michigan and serves these suspensions, he'll be doing stuff to bother them. Well, I'll just mow the lawn and go to Burger King and stuff like that. Yeah. So funny. Well, anyway, gave us plenty to talk about.
We've only spent 30 minutes on
I mean, it's a great scandal for us.
No, it's great.
It's unbelievable.
It's a great scandal. Sorry if you don't like it. If you do, I mean, we don't play favorites around here. We love a good scandal. I mean, you know, Mel Tucker's sitting up there going, come on, man.
Michigan's
acting up. Yeah. The whole state of Michigan is just acting up.
The whole state is acting up. And Michigan State would love to climb up on its, you know, which is always the beaten down member of this two school exchange here, right? They'd love to climb on their high horse right now and say, see, you high and mighty SOBs, look at you. But they've got Mel and they got Hitler on the big board, you know? I mean, it's like.
They're deep in Egg Bowl level right now. I mean, they are at Egg Bowl level.
That's a great point.
The state of Michigan in particular, but the Big Ten in general, likes to think of themselves as so much better than everyone else. Yeah. Like, okay, is what's worse, the dog peeing or the Hitler on the board? You know? You guys, ain't a whole lot of difference here, the way I see it.
That's sport an Egg Bowl rivalry at this point.
This is Egg Bowl level. They're just better. At least one of the teams is better. I don't know. Maybe Ole Miss ain't bad right now. Stop. Get off the high horse and just embrace it. Just embrace it. Be like, hell yeah. Let's be the Miami Hurricanes. I mean, this is going to be great. All right. Well, we got plenty more time to talk about Michigan. Probably next episode. Or you can listen to last week's. I think we were on. I think we were way ahead of everybody. I think we still are. All right, Texas, number 7, Texas playing BYU this weekend. Quinn Ewers is, quote, week to week, according to Steve Sarkisian. He's got a shoulder injury. Malik Murphy, the 6'5", 235-pound quarterback out of Gardena, California, came in on Saturday and is getting first-team reps in practice. As is Arch Manning, the heir to the Caesar's Palace commercial empire. Oh, everyone's excited. I will say this: if I'm a BYU like defensive player, I'd rather have Arch than having the idea that they're going to run Malik Murphy, and I got to tackle him. I'm like, bring on Arch. I'd rather get torched by a nice arm and then get crushed by this guy. You didn't see a whole lot of athletes like Malik Murphy.
No. Speaking of Cam Newton, he looks like Cam Newton.
Yeah. If the aliens come to America, we should send them Malik Murphy to scare them off. Send our best. Pat, this is going to see. Go ahead, Ross. Go ahead.
No, this is going to be a an interesting test without U.S. I mean, we saw Texas struggle, you know, in the second half, or the whole game, but especially the second half with Houston without him, and now they have probably much better, more talented teams than Houston coming up on the schedule. The next two games are at home, BYU and then Kansas State. So this is going to be a real test. Can they, and with a you know, saddled already with a loss, can they win out? Because they're going to have to, you know, one more loss and they're done for probably playoff hopes.
Yeah, done for Big 12 championship game even, especially if like Kansas State's right there. There's a group of teams that are tied for second, I think, with one loss in the Big 12. So, yeah, this is a real crunch time moment. This is coaches, you know, they love depth, and it's hard to have depth at quarterback these days because good ones don't want to sit on the bench. But we'll see Sark's depth here. I mean, Malik Murphy, they loved him in the spring, and as Dan said, physically imposing, and then the guy behind him was the number one recruit in the country, whose last name is Manning. So the feeling is they should be okay at that position, but we're going to find out, that's for sure. And I do hope Arch at least gets on the field. I just think the curiosity for me, and I'm sure many others, is intense to see him play in something other than Isidore Newman highlight films. You know, I believe everybody who said how good he was, but I'd sure like to see him play in college.
Yeah, I assume, I mean, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban wanted him desperately, as did everybody else. So I assume their scouting was pretty good on this. But yeah, it's and there's no margin for error because they already have a loss and do it up. Speaking of teams with a loss and no margin for error, and both would love to think of themselves as playoff contenders. Oregon is at Utah. I'm sorry, this weekend, 6-1, both of them. Utah riding high after the big victory at USC. Oregon trying to plow through and get back into contention with Washington. This is the Pac-12 meat grinder. Like I don't know. Can anyone make it through undefeated? Can anyone make it through two? I mean, it's amazing. The Pac-12 is so much deeper than everybody else in the country that you're looking at this. Go ahead, Ross.
We talked about it, I think a couple of weeks ago, and I said that I was walking out of University of Washington Stadium after that Oregon game, and somebody with the Pac-12 or with Washington, I don't remember, but said, just wait, Utah's going to come in and screw us all. They're going to beat somebody that they're not supposed to, and they're going to keep us out of the playoff. We're not going to have a team in the playoff despite this great year. And here we are, lo and behold, we're heading toward it as Utah saddled USC with another loss. And, yeah, got to play eventually, right, Oregon and Washington. So look out. You know, we at one point had – pretty deep into the season, right? Three or four Pac-12 teams undefeated, and now we are down to one.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? This is kind of what Utah does to that degree, and they don't tend to start the season well. This year, it was even more expected because of the injuries to Cam Rising, who is not going to play at all this year. Brant Quithy, their star tight end, who is not going to play at all, and so they've just kind of had to refashion themselves. And this Kyle Whittingham is, to me, he's like Jim Larrañaga in college basketball, where he is, you always forget how good he is until he shows you how good he is. And he always has a good team, and they're always doing stuff like they did Saturday, where they're just physically punishing USC, and they got a pig farmer quarterback out there running through defensive backs and winning the game. So Oregon, look out, buckle up. They're really good in the muss. They don't lose at home. That's going to be a heck of a game in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I feel like Utah is really well positioned going into the Big 12 too, like going forward.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. The perception is there's no team will dominate the Big 12, and it probably is true, but is Utah the one you would most think might be able to?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. In fact, I was talking to somebody about like entering next season, right? With Texas and Oklahoma gone, new guys coming in, like who in the Big 12 will be ranked in the top 25 preseason poll. And obviously the answer is, well, Utah, but there, I don't know that there, there's any more obvious answers than other teams than that, you know? So it's, hey, I think there's probably a good reason why Brett Yarmarker is trying to, you know, there's this stuff out there about Gonzaga joining the Big 12 to further increase their value in basketball. I mean, I think, you know, they know there could be some struggles in football. Hey, we need to pour some resources to basketball in. Even if we're the top basketball league now, we need to get even better and add value to that. And I think it's probably a smart move for them because, yeah, right now, I mean, usually you'd say, oh, like Oklahoma State is up there, but they've really kind of struggled a little bit this year. They're finding their way. Kansas State was supposed to be much better, right? They've struggled. You know, it's just, it's hard to see a whole lot of dominant football teams, like top 10, top 15 every year kind of thing in that league outside of like a Utah. And, but having said all that, the Big 12 is going to be hella fun, right? I mean, it's like when Oklahoma and Texas are out and these four new come in, it's as even parity wise as any league, any FBS league, I think out there, certainly any power four conference. And it's just like top to bottom. There's no real big heavyweights, but there's no little guys, so to speak. It's going to be a fun league for a while.
It's going to be fantastically competitive. It's going to be exciting. I just think Utah is probably – Colorado, too, has an enormous upside as long as Coach Prime is there.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, they're digging around in a level of recruit and certainly transfer that maybe the others aren't. But I just think any school could get it popping for a year or two, and it's going to go pretty well. One more before we get to a little realignment news. Colorado is back this weekend. They are at UCLA, desperately need a victory after the I can't imagine what it was like up there for the players after they blew that Stanford game, or Coach Brian blew the Stanford game. Program blew it. They are not the hot story anymore, as we expected. We're into some real stuff now. It's not the first couple weeks of the season. But UCLA is pulling some parts of the tarp off at the Rose Bowl to expand capacity.
How about that?
Extra
that's
few
some Coach Prime
seats.
Power there. If you can get the tarp off at the Rose Bowl, you got some.
Not all of it, but you know, parts of the tarp. I think I used to, you know, what's under the tarp? What are we hiding? So what are they going to find under that tarp? I don't know. Probably like a weed farm or something like that. I don't know. California. Grow lights.
LA, there's, grow lights.
What's under the tarp? Well,
a lot of possibilities.
Send the intern out to pull the tarp. I guess they sold some extra seats. So there you go with that. All right, Ross, what do you got on realignment?
Yes, realignment never ends. We're slowing down in this current wave of realignment. We're on the back end of it. I think we could have a couple moves coming here in the next 2, maybe 3 weeks. And that's we just talked about it, the Gonzaga Big 12 situation, Army with the American situation. And then there's a third thing, right? And that's the future of Oregon State and Washington State. Nothing's certainly final right now. And nothing as far as their decision on their future, I don't think this thing could be months away from really a final determination on their future because of the court hearing right now. They're in the legal fight for control of the Pac-12 assets against the other 10 members. So their future, again, certainly their long-term future, we won't know until months, if not maybe more than even a year. But short-term, right now, they are planning, you know, to be a two-school conference, the Pac-12, at least next season. They're going to operate that way. And at least that's, again, barring something unforeseen, that's the plan. And they're assembling a football schedule, which is quite fun, 10 months out from kickoff. And part of what they have to do is they need help from the Mountain West. They need games. They need 12 games. So they've got, each team has three non-conference games already scheduled. So we have that. They're trying to revive or continue, I should say, the Apple Cup and the Civil War with Oregon in Washington. So that gives them four games.
Wow.
So that's eight spots remaining. And right now they're in discussion and considering a scheduling alliance with the Mountain West for those eight games or maybe even seven games. Maybe they get a one-off here or there from some teams that have openings. So that's kind of what they're considering right now. However, if you're the Mountain West, why throw this lifeline without a long-term commitment or in some kind of compensation from those two schools? And that's kind of the crux right now. And again, we might not have a decision on that until this court case, until the next phase of this court case, which, an update on the court situation, you know, the two schools and the other 10 are in mediation, trying to reach a settlement before the next hearing, which is on November 14th. So there's hope that they can reach a settlement to determine who controls these millions of dollars of assets coming to the Pac-12. You know, we think of the Pac-12 as being this broken league, but they're not actually broke, especially when it's just two schools getting potentially in line for all of this money, this NCAA tournament, men's basketball money. It's a rolling six-year thing, so that's at least $50 million. And then something that's not been written about a ton, the Rose Bowl contract with ESPN and the Big Ten pays $40 million every year to the Pac-12. There's 2 years left on that Rose Bowl contract. That's $80 million, $40 million potentially for each school. So you're talking about a lot of money, and who controls that money? The courts are trying to decide that. And, you know, they want to make a decision on next year's football season exactly and what they'll, you know, how they'll be playing and what who they'll be playing by the transfer portal date, which I think is December 4th when the transfer portal opens in football, because I think they want to inform their football players, hey, this will be our schedule. This is what we're going to be doing.
I so, so, so very much want Oregon State and Washington State to get every penny of that money. For the other schools that were leaving because of the money and going to get the money from their new conferences and screwed over those two, how can you have any claim to that money? I think that would be, it's incredibly crass, but not surprising that they're trying to get it, but they shouldn't get it. And however this ends up, it is your point is a valid one, Ross, of is the Mountain West should have all the leverage in terms of scheduling and cooperating with Oregon State and Washington State, and should use it very much to their advantage. How they do that, I don't know. Do they have the skill and the will to pull it off? I don't know. I mean, Washington State and Oregon State, if need be, they should just play like a four-game series against each other next year. Two in Corvallis, two in Pullman, whatever.
Well, you know, at first I'd heard that they were going to play
Survivor Series.
Best of seven.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe two games. Maybe at least two games, one home, one away. I thought that that actually makes sense. They play twice in a year, but I don't. I get the sense that that's not something that's being seriously contemplated. But it could if they don't strike this scheduling alliance with the Mountain West, because they need games. I mean, they're going to have games. And another part of that story, a big part of that story, what is about the CFP, right? And what the impacts are on the CFP and the CFP format. So two things. I think that there's agreement from CFP folks to pay Oregon State and Washington State their individual school Power Five distribution, the same amount they've earned for the last, whatever, 10, 12 years, which is about $6 million each for the next 2 years, with the remaining contract. The second part of this is the access that they will have in a playoff. And I think it will be the same access as an independent has. That seems to be the expectation. So they won't get some kind of automatic qualifying spot for winning a two-school conference, basically winning the game against one another. Whoever wins that game would be the champion of the league. I don't think the CFP is going to approve them to get an AQ. So they'll be treated probably, if this all goes as planned, with this independent schedule, kind of like with the scheduling alliance with the Mountain West, they'll be considered an independent and will be only eligible probably for an at-large berth.
There you go. Low-level conference realignment rating. Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the MAC. Not the MAC, the MAC.
Right.
They grabbed Merrimack and Sacred Heart out of the NEC, the Northeastern Conference, Conference.
Big time raid.
Right there. You got some beef up there in the Northeast mid-major basketball, if that's even mid-major. Look out.
Low-major.
Low-major basketball. Let's play the little piece from Notre Dame's, the first part, from Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. Doing his press conference, his sons, he's got a couple sons playing flag football in South Bend, and the coach of the team, or one of the coaches of the team, is Tim O'Malley, who writes for Irish Illustrated and is at the at all the press conference, covers Notre Dame, as you'd expect from Irish Illustrated. And Coach Freeman had some questions, flipped it around. He decided to become the media member and grill Tim O'Malley of Irish Illustrated. Play that, Sean. It's pretty funny.
Makes things happen when it is. All right. My turn?
Yep. Fire
away. Okay. Two things, right? Second, third grade championship game. Okay. Two trips to the red zone.
Yeah.
0 points. One play was a reverse pass that was intercepted in the red zone. You were the offense coordinator there? Thoughts on the red zone play calling. What's your thoughts on those red zone play calling?
You know, they were attacking the run so much with Nico and Nolan, I thought we could drop one over the head. But maybe the elements, the mud, the game wasn't great for them. So
it's good. That's good.
Basics probably is the way to go there.
Last question. There was a Nico Freeman in that same game that had a long run that was negated by only having one flag on. Whose responsibility is to make sure the young man has two flags on?
I think it would be the guy in the huddle, which could be me, but you might be able to blame Coach Stanley on the
sideline. Oh, you're passing blame. Come on, Tim. You got to own it now.
I noticed you didn't ask about the fourth and fifth grade thrilling championship game.
Yeah, I did. I was going to finish with congratulations on your two championship wins yesterday. And, you know, head coaches get the credit sometimes when they deserve and don't deserve, but congrats on two wins. It was good.
D minus in the first game, and I think an A in the second.
But you won.
Yes,
you found a way to win. That's important, man. So appreciate that. That was a lot of fun yesterday.
Marcus Freeman, man. Good dude. That's funny.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So funny. And the more you hear from Marcus Freeman, the more you like him, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's a Nico Freeman in the game. Kid got his touchdown call back because he only had one flag. Oh,
who's responsible for two flags?
Flag football at its finest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's classic. And that's the other thing. Like, you know, yes, Marcus, you got absolutely griddled by a lot of people, myself included, for having 10 guys on the field. Mm-hmm. To still have a sense of humor in, you know, these instances, it speaks
open-ended
very well
question, too. Your thoughts on the offense. Because then you got to say that because, you know, thought the offense wasn't that, can you please talk about the poor play of your offense? It's like, wait, I didn't think, you're going to get killed. So you got to ask the open-ended in case the coach flips off and then you're on SportsCenter.
It's nice to have a coach who's got, you know, arguably one of the most pressurized jobs in all of college football, in maybe football in America, be human, you know, act mm-hmm. As a human might in a press conference. It's nice for, I guess, coaches in such a position to kind of reveal that, hey, there's more than life than just football. And although he was talking about flag football, you know, family and things outside of his job. So it's refreshing.
You go up there and you can't help but see that there's more to life other than football because his family's all around. He's got six kids and they're all
six
over
kids.
The place,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's not just 100 hours in the office. At least he went to the flag football game.
You walk into his office, in fact, and there's like candy, bowls of candy everywhere. And I remember asking him, like, why do you have candy everywhere? It's my kids. They all come in here. They all want candy.
All right. We got to get to Bigfoot.
We have long been a Bigfoot podcast.
We're big on Bigfoot. What do they call themselves? The the Sasquatchers.
What?
Sasquatchers. There's a group in Indiana.
Yeah, that's a great Indiana nickname Bigfoot, for a team.
The Indiana Bigfoot Research Organization. They had their annual camp out. 40 Sasquatchers camped out over the weekend.
Come on.
With other believers to try their luck at catching a glimpse of the creature. So the big news in Bigfoot world this fall was a woman named Shannon Parker from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and her husband Stetson Tyler. They were on a train running through a kind of near Durango, California, Colorado, and she filmed out the window that it would appear to be a Bigfoot walking through, or Bigfoot himself. We don't really know. Mm-hmm. Walking through this kind of rugged terrain, and of course put it on the internet, and many of us got excited.
I was excited.
I was, yeah. There's questions of whether this happened, someone does this as a prank. Is this a Bigfoot camp out? The Daily Mail did a pretty good job in the story, but didn't get all the details. So I'm still not really sure. So this guy, Shannon and Stetson, no better train passenger from Durango to Cheyenne than a guy named Stetson, right?
yeah, Stetson Tyler or Tyler Stetson? I mean, that doesn't matter. Yeah.
Parker or Parker Shannon, doesn't matter. This guy Brandon filmed it. So there's a lot there. You can look it up. Anyway, because of this, it got the Sasquatchers around the country excited. Three different states organizations, at least probably not your tax money going to this, I hope. Indiana, Oklahoma, and Colorado all launched.
I'm reading this story.
All launched their own investigations into why Indiana jumped in on this. I have no idea.
This Bigfoot expert there for this Bigfoot expert in the Daily Mail story. He looks like a captain of a lost sea vessel. He's the one that revealed the couple who claimed they spotted the mythological creature in Colorado probably saw, quote, a guy in a suit. Fantastic.
I mean, it did look like a guy in a suit, but isn't that what Sasquatch is supposed to look like?
Come on. I mean, man, you don't want your Bigfoot expert to just pour cold water on it like that.
Sasquatch has stayed hidden for 200 years. The Michigan low-level staffer can't make it 6 weeks. My favorite part is Bigfoot expert Brian Terrell claimed that 9 out of 10 Bigfoot sightings are never reported. So everyone's seeing Bigfoot everywhere because people don't want to be ridiculed for claiming they saw a Sasquatch. When people see things that are not supposed to exist, there's a shock factor that happens. Different people deal with it differently. Some shut down. So convenient.
How does one become a Bigfoot expert?
You claim yourself a Bigfoot expert.
Yeah, and then you just put on the internet, like you have a website that says, I'm a Bigfoot expert, and eventually the Daily Mail calls you and
picks it up. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They also claim that there would be more video, but many of the Sasquatchers have seen Bigfoot. They don't have video because they don't want to film Bigfoot and scare them because they're trying to build trust with the Bigfoot.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah, that for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Can you guess which state has the most Bigfoot sightings?
I'm going Pacific Northwest. I'm going to say Washington.
Nailed it.
Whoa. Oh. There we go.
713. I was
gonna say like Montana or something.
Mm-hmm. Colorado. California is number two. Number three is Florida.
What?
That's just Florida, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's math talking.
He looked like Sasquatch. He was just walking back from the 7-Eleven with a 40. I mean, they're not even like heavy forest and stuff down there to hide out. No. What, like all in the panhandle?
The swamp. It's a swamp Sasquatch. Swamp?
I thought the Sasquatch.
Swamp monster. They have him in Louisiana,
Sasquatch
too.
He's got too much hair for Florida, right? I mean, to live down there in the swamp, it'd be too hot.
He could shed.
I'd migrate.
Number four is Ohio.
Do they shed? There's a question for the Bigfoot expert.
Yeah, there you boom. Yeah, let's call them up. It's like in South Louisiana, they don't have the Sasquatch. They have the Rougarou. The Rougarou, Cajun folklore monster. The Rougarou. LSU used to have a player, defensive lineman, you know, he's like massive, like 400 pounds. And his nickname was, of course, Rugaroo. There you go.
Anyway, Pat 40, are we closer to finding Sasquatch?
Sure, we're closing in. I mean, I think it's clear we're closing in. And you know what? That I'm sure it's the narrow gauge railway down there in southwest Colorado. That's a good surveillance spot. I know some people live down in Durango. I can get them on the ground. We'll get down there. We'll find out about this. I think the answer is near. It's just a matter of time and a matter of if Bigfoot gets a little sloppy. You know, he's probably, what, several centuries old by now? He might be losing his game a little bit. I think we can catch him.
Gosh. Ross, we're going to get Sasquatch? I think we're getting, you know.
We're getting closer, aren't we? I just ran the video. Definitely a man in a suit. Definitely.
Does look like a man in a suit, I got to say. Could be better. But, you know, you never know. I would say if Sasquatch listens to this podcast, I hope we've provided some information. Stay out of Indiana, because for some reason those guys think you're amongst the corn stalks there. I just like that everyone thinks they have Sasquatch.
I know, right? Every state, yeah. We've done that before. Like Oklahoma has a big cottage.
Oklahoma's got a lot of Alaska. They just don't have the higher numbers because they know the people. Like California's going to rank top five in everything because they got so many people. So enough guys just sitting there. They're in you know, El Segundo, and they're just like, yeah, I saw Sasquatch coming down.
El Segundo. Sasquatch is parading across the airport.
Yeah, heading to LAX.
LAX, yeah.
In LA or in Oklahoma, you're noodling or tickling for catfish, or you're chasing Bigfoot.
There you go. That's what we do.
Remember, wasn't there was like a big crime about somebody who tried to summon Bigfoot, and the guy that he was with like beat him up?
Yeah, they killed him. I think
killed him. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he did.
Yeah, because he was mad that Bigfoot was going to show up and kill them both. Yeah. Or I don't.
Yeah,
It was a people's court. Not good. All right, that's our. I don't know what. We'll be back Thursday to talk some more games. We'll have our race for the case. Probably have more Michigan talk. I don't know. Somebody's going to do something. We know that. Either at the state of Michigan or somewhere else to cause some mayhem in this absurd sport of ours. And we will be here to chronicle it all and discuss it. So continue to subscribe, listen, share us on social media, and tell your friends about us. And we will talk to you later.